If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And if you are able, I'd like to ask you if you would to please stand as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching the sermon, You Are Loved. That's always a good thing to hear, isn't it? Amen. You are loved. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful today for Your love and for this scripture. And God, I pray that Your love would overtake us today, Father. That God, You would grant us the love that You have, that we would have that love for our brothers and sisters around us. A love that would cause us to serve, to witness, and to go into the places we thought we would never go and tell people about Jesus. And Lord, let Your love just penetrate every area of our lives that we can be set free from the things of our past. And Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and we thank You. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you this. When I think about love, and I thought about this question the other day, what comes to your mind when you think about what love is? Well, there's a lot of different reasons we could give for love. I could think of love. You know, the first time that I ever saw Janine, I was stricken by her beauty. She's beautiful. And I remember my heart skipped about 30 beats. And I thought, man, I got to know this. I got to know who this young lady is. I need to know her name. I want to find out about her. Because, I mean, I just knew in my heart I was in love with her. I've never had that happen before. And over time, that love developed. And it was such a love that I wanted to be with her. We went, our first time together, we went on a date, and I had to be with her more because I loved being around her. I loved her gentleness. I loved her tenderness. I loved her smile. And when I looked into her eyes, it made my heart flutter even more. And I couldn't quit thinking about her. But you know what I really thought? Now that's one source of love. But when I thought about a greater love, I thought about a greater love that I just read in Scripture. That, see, God loved us first. And His love, it's a deep love. It's a perfect love. It's a love that knows no judgment, knows no boundaries. It's a love that goes after anybody, no matter who they are. And it's a love that sent Jesus to leave the glories of heaven to come to this earth and be born of a virgin and then to give His life on a cross and to be raised from the dead on the third day. Now that's love.
Amen.
That is a perfect love right there. And that's the kind of love that I want to operate inside of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, in my job working in the funeral home, I always have a lot of love and compassion that goes out to these families that have lost somebody. Because, you know, I have been in their shoes before with members of my family that have passed, or friends or acquaintances. And there's a compassion, though. My heart aches and yearns for them. And I know that is what God has for each and every one of us. God, I wonder how often His heart aches and yearns for those who don't know Jesus. But I want to speak this morning about what God's love is. God's love is beyond comprehension. It is an amazing love. He knows everything about me, and He still loves me regardless of who I am and what I've done. See, in the worst times of my life, God loved me with this unconditional love. It was a love I didn't understand. It was a love, I mean, I'd heard about it because I went to church. Mom made sure that we went to church, and I thank God that I had a mom who cared enough to make sure we went to church a lot. And I didn't accept Christ until I was about 19 years old. And I wish it could have been sooner in life, but for whatever reason, I'm glad that I've come to know this perfect love. That even in my worst times, still yet today as a Christian, when I fail God, do you know that His love for me is unchanging? Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I cannot wrap my mind around this. I just can't. But it's the kind of love that I receive from the Lord that when I go visit people, I show that love to them. And I want you to know, I don't care where people live. I don't care how rich or how poor. I don't look at those kind of things. I don't care if they're a drug addict or drunk or prostitute or drug dealer, whatever. I don't care what they are. I don't care if they've murdered somebody and they're sitting in a jail. When myself as a Christian or as a minister, if I go to speak to these people, I want to show them the love of Jesus. So when I go visit, I just say, Lord, I don't want people to see me. I want people to see You in me working. Because see, it's not about me. It's not about me at all. Everything that I do is about God. I boast in the Lord, and I boast in His amazing works. I was reading that in the Psalms the other day about boasting in the Lord and everything that I do. Other thing about God's love being amazing is that even though I go through times of sickness or disease, I know that I am healed. I at once was down in a pit, and God rescued my soul. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, I deserve judgment. That's what I deserve. But God's tender mercy, He provided a way. If Jesus had have come and lived and died for us and rose again, we would have no hope as people. We would face an eternity in hell. We should have been cast into a lake of fire. But God saw this need. I was down in this pit and He lifted me up. You know, I wonder how many times do we actually sit and think about the beauty and the gloriousness of the cross. Because see, something wonderful was done there that day. Jesus said the words, it is finished. He had come to do a job. And when He said, it is finished, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus' spirit left the body. And 3 days later, He was risen from the dead by God the Father. Jesus said it would happen, and it happened. And you know what? Today, Christ is still working in the lives of people all around. I want to share this with you, that this is something that truly happened. I was starting as a new pastor of a church in Southern Illinois, and I got hired on full time. And I remember it was my first Sunday morning, and I was sitting back in the office, and the gentleman who had been the interim pastor come to me. And he says, Brother Jim, I need you to come out here. There's some people here, and I need you to make them leave. And I said, "Well, Bill, what's the matter? What did they do something really bad?" "No, no, they didn't do nothing." He said, I won't go into the nature really of it, but he said, "These two people, it's their lifestyle. And I want them to leave." And I said, he goes, "Now, are you going to go take care of this?" So you know what I said? I said, "Yes, Bill, I'm going to go take care of this right this moment." And I want you to know, I marched off into that sanctuary, and I found where these two people were sitting back there on the back row. This is what I did. Stuck my hand out. And I got these two people's names. And I said to them, "I want to welcome you to our church." All right. I said, "This is my first Sunday as the pastor here. And I am so thankful that God led you to worship with us today." It didn't matter what or who they were or what they were doing. Do you know that the church is a place for people that come from all walks of life that need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of His love for them? And that kind of love operated through me that day. And I welcomed these people into our fellowship. And I said, "If you have any questions about our church, you come and talk to me. But I'm thankful that you're here today, and I want you to also know that I love you." And boy, they just kind of looked at me like, wow. You know, never would have expected to hear a message like that from somebody or words like that. And I turned around and walked back through that door. And now here's what's funny, though. Bill had his face, there was a window in that door, looking, and Bill had his face planted in that window. And I walked through that door, and he looked at me, and he says, "Well?" I said, "Well, what, Bill?" "Well," he said, "they're not leaving." I said, "And they're not going to, Bill, because they need to know the love of Jesus." And I said, "Bill, I love them just as Jesus would love them." I said, "One thing I hope they get this morning out of a message is that they hear about Christ and that it penetrates their hearts." I said, "So Bill, they're not leaving." And you know what he said to me? He said, "Then fine, my wife and I are going to leave right now." And he said, "You won't have a piano player this morning." I said, "Well, Bill, it was nice to know you." And I said, "I hope you guys have a good day, and I'm going to be praying for you." Because see, for some reason, for him being a preacher, not everybody who claims the title of a preacher has that kind of love. See, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christian who have like this have that judgmental attitude. And that's not what Christ has called us to do. Christ has called us to love. You know what God did that night? We went through Sunday morning service singing everything a cappella style. It was the most beautiful singing I'd ever heard. And Sunday night, oh, I did tell Bill on his way out the door, I said, "Bill, you know what? God's going to bring us a piano player." And Sunday night, I'm down by the front door greeting people as they're coming in. And this woman and her husband come in that weren't there that morning. And this is what she said to me. She said, "My name is such and such. And she says, I'm a real estate agent." And she goes, "I just happen to wonder, are you looking for a piano player?" Because she says, "I play piano." I said, "Yes, ma'am, we are."
Thank you.
I said, "When can you play?" And she said, "I can play tonight." "What songs do you have picked out?" I said, "Well, if you'll get with the music leader, sure." So see, God worked it all out. But one thing we've got to show people in this day and age is that the love of Christ is at work in our life. We need to show. See, sometimes we're the only people, or we're the only Jesus that some people will ever see. You know that?
Amen.
Do you know that people who do live in sin, do you know that people can see God's glory on you if it's alive inside of your life? And it's a gift. And it's a gift that we should share with everybody. It doesn't matter where I go. I love sharing the gift. I got to go to East St. Louis back in 2003. And right in the middle of a gang neighborhood, I went to a church that was an old army barrack at one time, they told me. It was this old metal building. And I tell you what, I walked in there and I worshiped with my brothers and sisters in Christ who had invited me to come up there. And I had watched God do an amazing thing that Sunday at that church. And that's what it's all about, is His love. I don't understand His love, but I am so thankful that He gave it to me.
Amen.
And my next point is, the greatest gift of love ever given is what Jesus did on the cross. Leaving the glory of heaven. He didn't have to, but He wanted to, because He saw what our future was. The mighty King humbled Himself. A king became a servant. He was born in a manger. He wasn't born in a fancy royal palace. He humbled Himself. Jesus the King became a servant for you and I. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. This is the greatest sacrificial love that any person would ever show. His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. We got that good old hymn that says, "What can wash away my sins?"
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen, Brother Milton. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I remember singing that song as a Christian. When I sang it as a non-Christian, it didn't have a whole lot of meaning to me. I'd sing it in church, but you know what? As a Christian, when I sang that song, I saw myself redeemed. I saw myself washed whiter than snow. But the greatest thing to know is that when God looks at my life, He looks at me through the blood of Jesus and He sees me as redeemed.
Amen.
Thirdly, God's love is personal. Did you know that? God's love is personal with each and every one of us. Because God created each and every one of us personally. He gave us our own identity. He gave us our own characteristics. He gave us who we are. You know, and I've always said this, we may have different, you know, skin colors. We may have different ways of people speaking different languages and stuff, but we're all the same. We were all created in God's image. We were all created equally. And so we should love people personally ourselves. We should accept every single person into our church houses. I remember one Sunday morning at that church I was at. One Sunday morning, a young man walked in to the church and he had a Budweiser shirt on. And he had on a pair of jeans and the one leg of his jeans had a big rip in it. And he'd been drinking. See, his dad went to our church. And this young man came in about half lit and he got sat down on a pew. And somebody did mention to me after church, they said, "Well, Brother Jim, we shouldn't allow him to come in here." And I said, "Why is that?" They said, "Well, he was drunk." I said, "Well, good. Because you know what? He heard the word of the Lord." I don't care what influence someone might be under or something. When you speak the name of Jesus and when you speak that love, it does something to that person. Got another little story to share with you, something true that happened. I got called to the old Marion Memorial Hospital. How many of you remember the old Marion Memorial Hospital on Main Street, Marion? I got so many good memories there of things that have happened as a pastor going there and as a chaplain. But I got called to a room on a man who had taken a Xanax overdose. He didn't die, but he was out of his mind. And the nurses warned me, they said, "Stay away, keep your distance, because he may go off on you." So I ain't worried, I ain't scared. I said, I'm going in there under the authority and the love and the power of God. Amen. I'm not going in there under my power, because I would fall flat on my face. But I walk into that room, and this man is sitting in the bed, and he's going like this. And he's a young man, and boy, he's just going to town. And so I spoke his name, told him who I was. I said, well, do you mind if I ask you, what are you doing? He says, oh, I got to roll this boat down the creek. I got to get away from those people. And he was having a delusional moment because of the medicine he took so much of. And he just kept doing that. And finally, it came to the point where I started speaking to him under the authority in the name of Jesus. And when I started asking him if he had ever known Christ as his Lord and Savior, this is what the man did. Stopped what he was doing. He turned around on the edge of that bed, planted his feet on the floor, and he looked at me and talked to me just like you and I would have a conversation right now. Sober-minded, that man looked at me and says, no, I have not. And that entire conversation that we had in that hospital room, that man talked to me sober-minded. What I'm saying to you is that there is a power and an authority. There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is power in that love. And that love allowed me to talk to this man. And a seed was planted. I don't know whatever happened to him after I left, but I can tell you this. When the conversation was over, and when God said, you're done speaking to him, he turned around on that bed and started rowing those imaginary paddles again. And I read a story in the paper the next day that said where he had escaped through the window of the hospital. And they found him in someone's swimming pool the next day. Like I said, I don't know whatever happened to him, but I know a seed was planted, and I know that God's word never comes back void.
That's right.
His word never comes back void. Lastly, God's love is consuming. His love touches every part of our lives. His love penetrates deeply. There's a lot of people that come from different backgrounds in life. There's a lot of people who were raised in love. There have been people who were raised in abuse. There were people who were possibly raised in drugs and alcohol. There have probably been people who were raised, you know, going from foster home to foster. I don't know. But you know what? God's love is so powerful and so perfect. And it's so fierce that no matter what you've been through in your past, it can penetrate your very fiber and your very being and soul, and it can change you. It can truly change you. I told you what, I didn't like people. I hated people. I was backward. I didn't want to talk to nobody. And if anybody would have told me that when I was in high school that I would have been preaching, I would have laughed at them. I would have laughed him under the table. But look what God did to this guy. And yeah, I still fail. But you know what? I'm still a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. You know what I love to do? I've got friends that come from all walks of life. And you know what I do? When I see them, I throw my arms around them and I embrace them. And I tell them I love them. Because I do love them. And there's people who've hurt me. There's people who have done wrong to me. And when I pray, from the depths of my heart, I say, Lord, forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. And I release them from what they've said or done to me. Because if I let those things stand in the way, God's love can't operate in my life. And I'm going to miss out on some wonderful blessings. You know, I've been called to go to so many situations in people's homes. And I've seen some heartbreaking things. I've seen some pretty shocking things. I've been threatened. And I've had to just turn and walk away from someone's home. But you know what? I still pray for that person. Because I know that the devil has a hold on them. But you know what? The devil has no power, no authority. He's a loser. He's lost the battle. One thing I can tell you is the love and the power of God, it is a victory. It is a strong source. And it can change the very life of any person that comes into contact with it.
Amen. Amen.
It can take you, it can take this socially awkward, backward kid and turn him into a preacher who's not afraid. You know, and this is the greatest thing in the world. I had people saying to me, "You're going to East St. Louis? Are you crazy? You're going to go there. Do you know what that's like up there?" I don't care. God sent me. And do you know that when we got out of church that morning, people come up and hugged my neck and I hugged their necks. I saw people with guns in their waistline and they come up to me and they said, "We heard that you as a preacher coming here today." And they come up and shook my hand. There was no threat made because God's love penetrated the very layers of all those that I was in contact with that day.
Amen.
When I pray every day, that love penetrates me. And I say, "Father, I get myself out of the way so that your love can shine today."
Amen.
You know, I know God's love isn't working my life. This last week and a half, had great things happen. I left the job I was at with Crane Funeral Home. And I've gone to work for Wilson McReynolds Funeral Home in Marion. I used to work for them years ago, many years ago. And Bob and Dave are good friends of mine. I love them. And they had talked to me about a job position. And I took it. And you know what? There's somebody there that needs to know the love of Jesus. And I want you to pray. I'm not going to say a name. I'm not going to say male or female. I just want you to pray for this person. God knows who it is. And this person needs Jesus. And you know what? I know that that perfect love can penetrate that person's heart. And I know it can make a difference. You know, I've always said this. It doesn't matter where I go, where I preach, wherever God sends me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love each and every person that I come in contact with. I don't care what anybody else thinks about you or anywhere else I go. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love all over you, whether you like it or not. I'm going to give you that love that the Lord has. And I couldn't do it on my own. Sometimes I have to ask God to help me to love some people because they're like a burr underneath my saddle. I do. I have to ask God. But I do. I love them. I love them. And I got to ask God each day. But what I want you to know this morning, as if this love that is spoken to us in 1 John 4, 9 through 11, you're not going to find another love like it. I know I love my wife, and my wife loves me, but you know what? I love God more than I love than the kind of love that I have for her. And you know, I'd give my life for my wife. I'll protect her. I'll do whatever it takes to protect her, to provide for her, to be the husband she needs. I'll do it. I'll make the sacrifice. And we've made sacrifices. But my love for the Lord is even greater. Because of what He done for me. And I want you to know that the love of the Lord can penetrate your heart if you'll let it. Maybe you know somebody who needs Jesus. Maybe somebody here has gone through something in their childhood or something through their life. The love of Jesus can transform and change you instantly.
Amen.
And always know we're a work in progress. Mm-hmm. We are a work in progress. Mm-hmm.